The first reading today from the book of Genesis is a powerful testimony to God's faithfulness. Now, as we've heard over the last few weeks, God had established a covenant with Abraham. God had promised to bless Abraham and make him the father of a great nation from which all the nations of the earth would be blessed. And in the last couple of weeks, we heard about Isaac, Abraham and Sarah's son. And this week, we hear of the life-changing events surrounding the marriage of Isaac and Rebekah. So as we heard, this story takes place after the death of Sarah, and Abraham sends an unnamed servant to travel to Abraham's homeland to find a suitable spouse for Isaac. Given a difficult task, he does what he can and he leaves the rest to God. Now he chooses a likely place, the servant chooses a likely place to meet young women, a well in the town of Nahor. Then he prays. Now here's a little bit of insight about the Hebrew scriptures, about the Old Testament. Whenever a man and a woman meet at a well, there's going to be romance. Those of you who are fans of the movie The Ten Commandments will remember Moses meeting his wife-to-be and all of her sisters at a well, so his wife-to-be Zipporah. Jacob and Rachel is another famous couple, and there are other couples as well. This is sort of a couple by proxy at this point. But getting back to Abraham's servant, lest we veer down a path we don't want to, he prayed to God for guidance, asking that the woman who is destined to be Isaac's wife would show kindness and generosity towards him and offer water to drink. And right on cue, Rebekah enters the scene, and she offers him water and even offers water and gives water to the camels. Apparently a camel can drink up to 15 gallons of water at a time, so that was a lot of work on her part. So recognizing the signs, the servant gives her gifts and learns that she was a relative of Abraham, just as Abraham had asked. And then the servant meets Rebekah's family and explains his mission, telling how God had led him to her. He seeks their permission for Rebekah to accompany him and to become Isaac's wife. Rebekah's family, recognizing the hand of God at work, agrees to the marriage proposal. Rebekah and the servant journey back to Canaan, where Isaac awaited them. When Isaac saw Rebekah, he was filled with joy and they were married. Their union was blessed by God. They found love and companionship in one another. A wonderful ending to a lovely story. But there's a little bit more to it. It isn't just a Harlequin romance kind of story. Like Gideon in the book of Judges, the servant asks for a sign. Then he watches and he waits to discern God's will. And when that sign is fulfilled, the servant is quick to praise God for God's faithfulness. And he bears witness to others of that faithfulness. And so what steps did the servant take? Firstly, he prepared. He did everything that he could to establish the best conditions possible so that he could accomplish his mission. He went to Abraham's home territory. He went to a place where he would most likely encounter a potential spouse. He brought gifts. He did all the groundwork. And then he prayed. He prayed that he might be able to discern what he was looking for. Next, the servant waited. He didn't expect an instant magical response to his prayers. He waited patiently. And he watched for signs of God's faithfulness. God was faithful to the servant by pointing Rebekah in his direction. And next, the servant was quick to praise God and to witness to others of God's faithfulness. He told Rebekah and her family about the mission he was on and the sign he had received from God. And finally, the servant was generous. He provided gifts to Rebekah, to Rebekah's family, lest we forget about her, Rebecca was generous by offering herself at God's call. And her family was generous because they too discerned a call. And Isaac was generous because he accepted Rachel in faith, never having seen her before. And God was generous because God didn't simply arrange for Rebecca to appear. But the story ends with Isaac and Rebecca being in love. A not very common thing in arranged marriages back in the day. So what are the lessons for us in all of this? Well, firstly, the servant didn't only pray as a response to a difficult situation. Instead, he did whatever he could in advance to try to ensure a positive resolution. I think of Martin Luther King Jr. He didn't simply write letters to the editor, did he? He got up off his seat, did what he could to enable success, and while praying to God for a sign about what to do next. You know, in our lives today, I sometimes think of those whose response to a tragedy or other serious issue is to throw out that phrase, thoughts and prayers. Of course, they usually don't do anything beforehand to enable that change to happen or to enable a situation to not happen. And quite often, they don't do anything afterwards either. And in our own prayers, we sometimes might pray for things or about issues without actually taking any action. You know, we pray for peace in Ukraine, period. What do we do to enable peace? Next thing is the servant waited. He didn't pray and then magically immediately despair because a woman didn't magically appear as if transported down from a spaceship. He waited in faith, knowing of God's faithfulness. We sometimes expect instantaneous results from prayer, don't we? I pray that a solution to a problem might happen, and if it doesn't happen in 5 minutes, has God abandoned me? God is a faithful God. Instead, we need to wait as we watch for a sign about how to move forward. And then we move forward. We take action. Can you think of a sign that you might have received that you didn't see at the time? Perhaps because you were impatient, or because you didn't watch for it. And then when he discerned the signs of God's faithfulness, the first thing the servant did was to proclaim that he had seen it, giving thanks to God each time as he explained to Rebecca, to her family, and to Isaac. And it was that proclamation of God's faithfulness that led to faithful action by others. God's faithfulness became apparent to them as well. Do we ever blame God for bad things but forget to praise God for good things? And then we sit at home wondering why others don't share our excitement about being Christian. So we're reminded by this love story about God's faithfulness and our response to it. So the steps were prepare, pray, wait, watch, and praise. Prepare, pray, wait, watch, praise. In the gospel reading, Jesus said that the burden he provides is light and the yoke is easy. It's important for us to note that he didn't say that the burden and the yoke are non-existent. Jesus, God, expects us to do our part. Prepare, pray, wait, watch, and praise.